Today, Santa Rally in full swing for now. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and property news. And this is our weekly market update, starting in the US, crossing to Europe and Asia, and ending in Australia. Markets continue to drive higher, though with significant volatility, as geopolitical issues in places like France, Korea, the Middle East, and Ukraine collide with questions of interest rate trajectory, the AI boom, and Trump's ongoing announcements of more names into his team. Investors can savour the current market momentum, but should prepare for a potential shift after January's inauguration of Donald Trump, Tom McLennan said in the New Market Report. This shift in sentiment is tied to uncertainty surrounding a new administration's policies and the inevitable political battles with Congress. Wall Street hates unknowns, he emphasised. The MSCI Global Index of Stocks was up 1.3% across the week and up 20.8% year-to-date. The Stock 600 was up 2% across the week, logging its seventh consecutive day in advances and its strongest weekly performance in 10, and is up 8.65% year-to-date. While the S&P 500 advanced modestly early and held most of those gains into the closing bell in New York for its 57th record closing high this year, up 0.96% across the week and up 27.68% year-to-date. The VIX was trading below 13, while Bitcoin briefly edged back below 100,000 US. Markets are expecting the Fed to cut rates again in December, after the US economy added 227,000 jobs last month, mostly in line with expectations, and the three-month average came in at around 173,000, confirming expectations that the labour market is cooling, but at a moderate pace. There's one more data print to come, the November CPI. That, of course, will inform the Federal Reserve policymakers when they meet on December the 17th and 18th. While the November CPI inflation will probably see another weather-related boost to goods prices, markets are pricing in an 85% probability that the Fed will cut rates by a quarter point this month. That's up from 66% a week ago. Capital Economics estimates that core US CPI rose by 0.2% month over month in November, down from three consecutive monthly increases of 0.3%. The Dow was down 0.28% on the day and 0.6% across the week, but was still up 18.45% year-to-date, while the Nasdaq lifted 0.81% on Friday to be 28.51% higher year-to-date. Tech was back in vogue, with Tesla up strongly over the last 90 minutes of the session to finish up 5.3% to reach a market cap of $1.25 trillion US dollars. Amazon advanced 2.9% to lift its market cap to near 2.4 trillion US. And Meta rose 2.4%, resetting its record high during the session, and helped in part by a US federal court upholding a new law requiring ByteDance to divest its popular short video app TikTok in the US by early next year or face a ban. Polenta rose 6.2% and Broadcom closed up 5.3%. Among crypto-related stocks, Iron added 8.8%, lifting its market cap to more than 3 billion US. Coinbase rose 7.2%, Robinhood rose 7.1%, and Marathon Holdings added 6.6%. Apple extended its rally, with the senior market analyst at XS.com saying that the stock's rise to another record high reflected investors' confidence in its technological innovation strategy. And Bitcoin's retaking of the 100,000 US level also bolstered Cathie Wood's ARK Innovation ETF, which closed up 4.2%. And while up 24% so far this year to $62.90, it's still far below the $156.58 it reached back in February 2021. Two-year US bonds were down 1.54% across the week to 4.098. That's a proxy for the cash rate. While the 10-year, an indicator of mortgages, was down 0.7% to 4.153. The DXY was still strong at 105.97, putting pressure on the Aussie and other currencies too. The DXY will be worth monitoring given that the US dollar has a track record of poor performance in the month of December generally. Oil prices struggled this week with weak global oil demand despite OPEC Plus's continuing their current production cut scheduled into 2025 and pushing back the start of oil output rises by 3 months until April and extending the full unwinding of cuts by a year until the end of 2026. Bank of America forecasts that increasing oil surpluses will drive the price of Brent to around $65 in 2025, while expecting oil demand growth to rebound to 1 million barrels a day next year, the bank said in a note on Friday. Brent crude futures settled at $71.03 a barrel, shedding 1.4%. US West Texas Intermediate crude futures settled at $67.18 a barrel, falling 1.6%. For the week, Brent prices lost more than 2.5%, while WTI saw a drop of 1.2%. Gold remained range-bound for the majority of the week as the precious metal coiled into a $40 range between $2,612 and $2,660. Not even Friday's jobs data was enough to shake the precious metal into a breakout. At the close in Toronto, the TSX Composite rose 0.05% to reach another all-time high, and the Volatility Index in Canada was down 4.2% to 9.12. That's a new three-month low. European markets put on a mixed performance on Friday as investors evaluated the ongoing political instability in France and of the release of key US jobs data. Germany's DAX rose 0.2% to clinch an all-time high and logged its biggest one-week rise in over 2 months, even as political uncertainty prevailed. France's CAC 40 gained 1.3%, while the UK's FTSE 100 dropped 0.54%, even as Keir Starmer did a bit of a policy relaunch just 5 months into his term. Direct Line rose 5.6% after the British insurer said that it was set to recommend a sweetened £3.61 billion cash and stock takeover by Aviva if the bigger rival makes a formal offer. And shares in Frasers Group PLC fell to a 52-week low, falling 3.63%. France has stepped into a crisis mode after a series of events that included budget concessions to make Le Pen happy, ended with Le Pen not being happy, and consequently Barnier using a constitutional tool to push his unpopular budget bill without a parliamentary vote. And Le Pen said that she would take his government down by joining the left's in a no-confidence motion. So in summary, things will probably get messier in France before they get better. French assets saw a relief rally, though, after President Emmanuel Macron said that he would appoint a new prime minister in the coming days, whose top priority will be getting a 2025 budget adopted by Parliament after the government was toppled by lawmakers. The French 10-year yield fell to the lowest in 2 months, and the CAC 40 closed the session near flat. But wait, the spread between the 10-year French and German yields jumped to 87 basis points. That's the highest since the euro debt crisis of a decade ago, and could well spike above 100 basis points if the French political crisis is not contained. The widening French-German yield spread hammered the single currency on Monday. The euro-US dollar sharply dropped to 1.046 and will certainly remain under pressure of the French drama, among other problems on the continent. It was last at 1.0568. Stellantis CEO quit this week on tumbling sales and profits, causing the shares to drop by more than 6%, and around 66,000 VW workers abandoned their posts on failure to agree how to slash costs to avoid factory closures. The sell-off in VW shares remain curiously limited. Data released earlier on Friday showed that German industrial production unexpectedly fell in October, pointing to further weakness in the Eurozone's dominant economy. Production was down by 1% in October from the previous month, after an upwardly revised decline of 2% in September and an increase of 2.6% in August. The Eurozone as a whole grew 0.4% on a quarterly basis in the third quarter, according to data released on Friday. That's an annual gain of 0.9%. This meager growth points to another rate cut by the European Central Bank next week, and the market is pricing in over 150 basis points of easings by the end of 2025. The DAX Volatility Index, which measures the implied volatility of DAX options, was down 1.44% to 1361. That's a new three-month low. Most Asian stocks fell on Friday ahead of the key US jobs data, mirroring oversight losses on Wall Street, while South Korean shares plunged amid an ongoing political crisis there. South Korea's KOSPI index slumped by about 1.6% on Friday after dropping nearly 1% in the previous session. The index saw increased volatility and sharp falls this week after the country's president abruptly revoked an imposition of martial law on Wednesday amid public and political backlash. The leaders of South Korea's ruling party said on Friday that the president must be removed from power to protect the nation, citing the attempt to impose martial law. Japan's Nikkei 225 fell 0.9% and the TOPIX declined 0.7%. But in contrast, Chinese stocks surged ahead on stimulus hopes ahead of a key Chinese economic meeting next week. Shanghai Composite Index jumped 0.9%, while the Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300 Index climbed 1.1%. Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index surged 1.2%. The optimism comes as China's manufacturing sector shows some signs of stabilization. The Purchasing Managers Index for manufacturing edged up to 50.3 in November, signaling expansion for the second straight month. Analysts attributed this to fiscal measures aimed at boosting infrastructure investment, although concerns about weak consumer demand still persist. However, geopolitical tensions and currency depreciation risks can eat away on the market. The US dollar, Chinese yuan exchange rate has faced pressure and could influence trade and investment dynamics, according to Morgan Stanley. India's Nifty 50 was down 0.2% on Friday after the Reserve Bank of India kept its benchmark rate unchanged as expected, but cut the reserve requirements for banks as recent data showed a sharp cool down in economic growth. The central bank cut its economic growth outlook for the current financial year and also hiked its inflation forecast. Inflation data for October shot past the RBI's 6% upper target amid sticky food prices. Some market participants had been anticipating a 25 basis point cut on India's recent economic growth reading, which slumped to a 7-quarter low in the September quarter. The bets for a cut also stemmed from a depreciation in the Indian rupee. India is likely to remain the fastest growing country in the region in 2025, although that growth will be weaker than in 2024. Inflation should remain well within the central bank's target, and the local currency should outperform, according to ING. The RBI had flagged a shift towards neutral during its October meeting after maintaining a restrictive stance since 2022, and the central bank is expected to begin trimming rates in 2025 as long as inflation remains steadily on a downward trend. The Australian share market dropped on Friday in a broad sell-off as investors turned cautious ahead of that key US jobs report. The ASX 200 fell 0.6% to 8,420 at the closing bell, with 10 out of 11 sectors in the red. The index lost 0.2% on a weekly basis, and it scaled a fresh high on Tuesday to 8,514.5. Energy came under pressure, tracking oil prices lower. Woodside shaved almost 2.2% to $24.06, and Santos retreated 1.2% to $6.59. The big banks had a weak session, with Westpac down 1.4% to $32.76, while Commonwealth Bank fell 0.6% to $157.06. That's despite traders ramping up bets of an earlier rate cut by the Reserve Bank. Money markets now imply a 50-50 chance of an easing in February 25. That's up from 25% on Tuesday. The central bank is widely expected to keep the cash rate at 4.35% when it meets next week. Mining company Iluka Resources was the biggest laggard, down 10% to $4.93, after it announced an extra $214 million cash contribution to cover the cost blowouts of its domestic rare earths refinery. The country's biggest transmitter of natural gas, APA Group, jumped 1.4% to $7.27. It was among the top gainers after the energy regulator confirmed that it would not subject the company's Southwest Queensland gas pipeline to full price regulation. And Domino's Pizza slumped 2.3% to $30.48 after Macquarie downgraded the stock to underperform from neutral, saying that a decline in franchisee profitability was jeopardizing the chain's new store openings. Shares in copper miner 39 Metals fell 2% to 25 cents after Citi cut its rating to sell from neutral, flagging potential funding issues. And shares in gambling company Aristocrat fell 3% to $67.68 following the resignation of Chief Executive Hector Fernandez late on Thursday. The Australian dollar tumbled 1% against the US to trade at around 63 cents, paring somewhat its overnight losses, and it was at 50.15 UK pence. Ouch. And finally, in crypto, US President-elect Donald Trump's crypto policy is taking shape with the announcement of a White House crypto czar and a new securities watchdog. But questions remain over who will drive policy and whether too many cooks could slow down changes. Trump on Thursday appeared to make good on his campaign pledge to be a crypto president, announcing that he would make former top PayPal executive and crypto evangelist David Sacks White House AI and crypto czar. A day earlier, Trump said he would nominate pro-crypto Washington attorney Paul Atkins to head the Securities and Exchange Commission. One big question is whether the policy will be driven by Sacks himself, as czar appointed by Trump is going to want to see changes fairly quickly. But the SEC has processes, and you can't just snap your fingers at the SEC and have new rules, according to Ian Katz, Managing Director of Capital Alpha Partners. A Silicon Valley venture capitalist and friend of Trump billionaire backer Elon Musk, Sacks was an early Bitcoin investor. And in 2017, in an interview, he said cryptocurrencies were a revolution on the internet, but he acknowledged that there were also scammers in the sector. He does not appear to have any experience writing or leading policy. That's according to a Reuters review of his background. Atkins, meanwhile, is a former SEC official and respected veteran of Washington policy circles who has said that he supports crypto innovation as a way to boost financial services competition and has helped crypto companies in their dealings with regulators via his consultancy. Both have called for regulators to be more accommodating of crypto companies, but neither appear to have taken a position on whether and under what circumstances crypto tokens should be considered securities, commodities, or utilities. That's a core issue which will ultimately decide how the industry is regulated. Bitcoin, the world's largest cryptocurrency, surged past the 100,000 US milestone for the first time after Trump announced Atkins as his pick to lead the SEC, buoyed by hopes that the new administration would usher in softer crypto policies. And Bitcoin was last just below 100,000 at 99,580. So in the rush to Christmas, expect more market highs to be reached, more volatility. But in the new year, well, things could be a little bit different. In the meantime, those higher interest rates will create problems for central banks and also for bondholders. So there's plenty to keep an eye on over the next couple of weeks. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.